So let's review. Zog the Mishnah, Ezuhi Shvu Eshav Nishba L'Shanes Es Yidu L'Adam. An oath denying an obvious reality is a vain oath. For example, Amar Lo Amit Shel Evin Shehu Shel Zav Vala Ish Shehu Isha Vala Isha Shehi Ish. One swore that a pillar of stone is made of gold, or that a certain man is a woman, or that a certain woman is a man. And the Gemara adds, "Vehu shenikur legimel b'nei adam." He's liable for this oath if the truth is discernible to at least three people. The Mishnah gives another example of shvu eshav. Nishba al davashi efsholoi. One swore to an impossible event. For example, "Emloi reisi gumbel sheperech ba'aver, v'emloi reisi nachash kekeres beisabad." He saw a camel flying in the air, or that he saw a snake like the beam of an olive press. And the Gemara explains, "B'shegabay tarf." He referred to a snake whose back is spotted like the beam of an olive press, unlike real snakes. The Gemara points out that "imloi reisi" literally means that he did not see this, and offers two interpretations of this phrase. "Tani shavu asher reisi." He actually said, "I swear that I did see." "Ba'imer ya'astru kol perish ba'olam alai imloi reisi gamal perech ba'aver." He said, "All fruit should be forbidden to me if I did not see." The Gemara asks, "Medema hai gavra tzipayer rabachazi." Perhaps this person saw an extremely large bird and referred to it as a camel, and his oath was based on his own understanding of the term. The Gemara answers, we interpret an oath based on the simple meaning of the words and not based on his own understanding. The Gemara cites two challenges to this principle. Tanya, Kishmashbian Oisai Omrimloi. When Bezin administers an oath, they say, Haviadea, Shaloy al Daitcho on the Mashbian Oisha, Ella al Daitenu Baal Das Bezin. We're not having you swear based on your own understanding, but rather on the understanding of Bezin. The Gemara first assumes that this is necessary, because we're concerned, Dilma Iskandari Yohavle, Vaasikle Zuze, Dechikomishtabea Adaiti Dide Komishtabea. Perhaps he gave him some wooden chips that he refers to as coins. Therefore, he can swear truthfully that he gave him coins while actually referring to these chips. Thus, we see that as linen basadaite, we do follow his understanding. The Gemara answers, Hasa Mishum Kanya Dirava. We follow the actual meaning of his words. Nevertheless, we're concerned that he will avoid paying and swear truthfully even according to the actual words by using a trick. As in the case before Rava, the debtor had a hollowed out walking stick in which he placed the money. He handed it to the creditor temporarily to hold it while he swore that he already gave him his money, which was technically the truth. He then took back his stick. To prevent this ruse, the Chachamim made the above disclaimer. Another question. Tanya v'chei metzinu, kishishbiya Moshe es Yisrael amalhen, du'u shaloy al daitchem ani mashbeya aschem, el al das hamokam al daiti. In Parshas Netzavim, the Torah relates that when Moshe Rabbeinu had Klal Yisrael swear to observe the Torah, he told them that the oath is based on the understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and that of Moshe. The Gemara first assumes that this was necessary because if Moshe would, for example, say to them, "Kaimu mai da'amar Eloiha," swear that you will heed Hashem's commandments, they might claim, they understood this term to mean referring to idols. Apparently, as linen basa daite, we do follow his own understanding. The Gemara answers that this might be necessary even if we say basa pumi as linen, because avoidis kechavim nami ikra eloiha. This could be a valid understanding of this word because the Pasuk says, Elihei Chesav, Elihei Zav. The Torah uses this term for idols. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu needed to preclude such interpretations. However, after listing many other terms which could similarly be misconstrued, the Gemara eventually asks, V'leimelehu, Kaimer Sheish Meis V'Shleish Esrei Mitzvahs. He could have said, swear that you will fulfill all 630 commandments. This cannot be understood any other way. If so, why was the disclaimer necessary? Furthermore, L'taimeich, Leimelehu Al Daiti, Al Das HaMokam Lomali. How could he merely have had them swear according to his own understanding? Why did he refer to Das HaMakom as well? Clearly, he was not concerned with alternative interpretations of the oath. Rather, ki heichad lo tahava hafar l'shvu esayu. He intended for the oath to be according to Hashem's understanding, so they could never nullify the oath. Mishnah continues, Amal Eidim bo'u v'hiduni. And they responded, shvu eshloi ne'itcha. Someone asked witnesses to testify on his behalf, which the Torah obligates them to do, and they swore that they will not testify, or nishba levatel es a mitzvah, one swore not to fulfill a mitzvah. For example, shleilas a sukkah, v'shleilita lulav, v'shleilaniach tefillin, not to build a sukkah, not to take a lulav, or not to put on tefillin. In these cases as well, the Mishnah explains, zuhi shvu eshav, shechayav nazdein amalkes v'shegagas apater. These are all examples of vain oaths, for which one is liable malkes if he swore intentionally, but is exempt from a carbon if he swore unintentionally, as we learned in an earlier Mishnah regarding shvu'ez bitui. Nishba levatel as a mitzvah potter. One cannot make a shvu'ez bitui not to do a mitzvah. However, he's chayav malkes for it as a shvu'ez shav. The Mishnah continues, shvu'ez shal eichel kigerzu, shvu'ez shal eichlena. One first swears that he will eat a certain loaf, and then swears that he will not eat it. Harishenish was bitui, vashnish vushav. The first oath is effective, while the second oath is a vain oath, since he is obligated to eat it to fulfill the first oath. Therefore, achla avash vushav, loy achla avash vush bitui. If he eats the loaf, he only transgressed the second oath. But if he does not eat it, he transgresses the first oath, as the Gemara explains, af ashvuz bitui. He's then liable for both oaths. He was immediately liable for the second vain oath, and he's liable for the first oath when he violates it. We proceed to the next Mishnah. As Rashi explains, since the next parak will deal with other oaths that are limited to certain people and situations, the Mishnah now explains the scope of a shvuz bitui or shvur shav. Zok the Mishnah. Shvuz bitui neheges ba'anashim u'banashim u'krevim u'rechaikim b'ksherim u'bepsulim. A shvuz bitui, to do or not to do something, pertains to all people, men or women, relatives or strangers, those who are valid witnesses and those who are not, befnei bezin, v'shaloi befnei bezin, whether inside or outside of the court, however, mipi atzmai, only if he utters the oath himself. And v'chayavan azdei namakis v'ashagagasa karben oil b'yayrit. If one violates it intentionally, he's liable malkis, and if he violates it unintentionally, he brings a karben oil b'yayrit. Likewise, shvur shav, neheges ba'nashim u'banashim, b'rchaikim u'b'krevim, b'ksheim u'b'psulim, b'fnei bezin, b'shloi b'fnei bezin, u'mipi atzmai. A vain oath pertains to all these people and situations as well. However, it differs in punishment in that v'chayovin azdei namakis v'ashegigasim pater. If he swore intentionally, he's liable malkis, but if he swore unintentionally, he's exempt from a carbon. However, the Mishnah continues, achazu v'achazu, hamushma p'acherim chayev. For either oath, one is liable when adjured by another person. For example, lo yichalti hayom, v'lo yinachti tefillin hayom, mashpiyacha ani v'omer amen chayev. If one declares, I did not eat today, or I did not put on tefillin today, and someone tells him, I adjure you, and he answers, amen, I accept the oath, it is a valid oath, and he's liable. The Gemara points out, kotani shvuz bitu neheges, mepi'atzme in, mepi'acherim loy. The Mishnah first rules that he's only liable if he utters the oath himself, and then rules that he's liable if someone else adjures him. The Gemara answers, Hada ana amen, hada loy ana amen. If he answers amen, he's liable. But if he does not answer amen, he's not liable. As Shmuel said, Kol ayna amen achashvua, kameitzi shvua bepiv dami. If one answers amen to an oath, it is as if he said it himself, as the pasuk says, Va'amr ha'isha, amen, amen. Hanulach shvur shtayim. Rav Bokshim completed the third parak of Masechta Shavuos, and in the next year we'll begin the fourth parak, Shavuos Eidus, Be'ezus Hashem.